Welcome to the Faith Dialogue Podcast with your host, Pastor Ken Baer. Are you ready to swim in the deep end of the Bible pool or climb to the top of Faith Mountain? If so, open the eyes that see, those ears that hear, and a heart that is receptive. Get your cup of coffee and your Bible as we begin.
So that's going to be fun. So let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, that we're gathered here today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to open up your word and let you speak to us and be able to fill our hearts. And Lord, it says in the Bible that when the apostles received the words, their heart was overflowing. And Lord, we want to have hearts that overflow when we open up your scriptures and have you speak to us. So we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's parable is small, just like the mustard seed. It's a small parable, but it's recorded three times in what's called the Synoptic Gospels, the Gospels that basically have a history. They kind of follow along the same story of Jesus. So I recorded all three. I put all three. I figured I'd just read all three of them to you, and we'll kind of go from there. So this is the parable of the mustard seed. It's also the parable of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, it says, he told them, this is Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And then in Mark, it says this, same parable. Again, Jesus said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in the shade. And then in Luke, it says, then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. I guess birds can preach too. So there's a couple of things. Every time I look at the parables, there's a couple of things my mind always goes back to. And if you've been with us for a while, it always goes back to, okay, what did Jesus say about parables? Jesus said he speaks in parables because he's giving us insights into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. So that's the overall context, is that we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. These are insights to it. And parables are interesting because there's a lot of different illustrations we can use, or examples we can use, or even applications we can use. But typically what I teach is there's really only one true meaning, only one true meaning with the parables. And we did this just the last few weeks. For example, a couple weeks ago, we had the parable of the sower sowing the seeds. And we said, you know, people know that parable, and some seeds fell on stony ground and some fell among thorns, and some grew up real quickly but then wilted away. And I said, and people use that as illustrations all the time for how we're supposed to respond. But that's not the purpose of the parable. The meaning of the parable is the generosity, the extravagance of the sower. No sower in his right mind is going to take seeds and throw them into the stones or throw them into a path. They're going to be very, very careful. If you've ever planted seeds, you're very, very careful with seeds. People that have expensive plants like violets and some of these other irises and some of these other plants are a little bit more expensive. They take the seeds and they place them one at a time and they prepare the dirt. So the parable of the sower shows us how Jesus is so willing to be able to give the gospel away. Just give it to people that are worthy, that may not be worthy. Just get it out there. Because the Bible says that he desires that all would come into the kingdom of God and that nobody would be lost. So this parable is the same. Remember, we're talking about the parable of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, Jesus is comparing it to a mustard seed. The other thing I like about this parable is that I love it that it's in three different places because it uses slightly different words. Which means when we read a parable, we're supposed to understand that this is a story. It's a story. Jesus is just making up stories. And he's using these stories to illustrate some very, very deep spiritual principles. But they're stories, which means you can't take every word and every comma and every nuance within the story and think somehow that has a direct application to the way God treats his children or God treats his people. There are some general trends that we see in these parables, but we can't take every nuance. So for example, Jesus tells it three different times, and there's slight differences in each one of those. So for example, we know that mustard seeds don't become trees. They become mustard plants. They don't become trees. But it's okay that Jesus would use the word tree because he's trying to illustrate the idea that this is something that's very, very small and becomes very, very large. So we're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things that people often talk about in this parable is that they compare the kingdom of God and the growth of the kingdom of God, okay, to what we've seen on the earth. And there's a lot of good illustrations or comparisons. We know that, for example, when Jesus was teaching and preaching, his influence was small. There was 12 disciples that he called his apostles. There were 120 in the upper room. There were 5,000 on the day of Pentecost. But still, in relative numbers, that's a very, very, very small beginning. This is not a big beginning. This is a very, very small beginning. So you immediately can say, well, I see the example that Jesus is almost foretelling, giving us a prophecy that the kingdom of God is like the beginning of what we see for the church. It started very, very small, but it soon started to grow. And in fact, it's huge right now. According in 2011, which is the last survey, there were 2.2 billion Christians in the world out of 6.5 billion people. In fact, it's the largest religion. Some people think Islam is bigger, but it's not. Christianity is bigger. Not only is it bigger, but it's growing faster. It's actually growing faster. It's attracting more converts. In China, if you go back 100 years after the revolution, that's what, 70 years now, 70 years ago, there was probably no more than 5 or 6 million Christians in China. Today, some people think there might be as many as 200 to 300 million. Perhaps more. Christianity is growing very, very quickly. Even in Islam, even among Muslim lands, in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, the missionaries that I talk to, the people that are in the know, have told me that it's amazing what's going on, that there are many, many imams, which are people that are schooled in the teachings of Islam. Many, many imams are coming to Jesus Christ. And they're also coming miraculously. They see visions. They see visions of angels. They see visions of Jesus calling them. And it's a place where if you become a Christian, you're surely persecuted. Surely persecuted. So that's one of the possibilities as we take a look at this parable. Maybe that's what Jesus is talking about. Well, here's my point of view. My point of view is this, is we're kind of that's kind of right, and at the same time, it misses it by just a little bit. And the point is this, the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. Its influence, the reason it's an invisible kingdom is because it's governed by the Lord himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told Nicodemus is that the Holy Spirit was like the wind. You can't quite see it. It comes and it goes. You can feel the effect of it, but you can't see it. It's the same way with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is truly an invisible kingdom. Now, we have a physical representation called a church, but the church actually is better known as the body of Christ. And again, the better expression, a better understanding of a church is not a building or even an organization, like Baptists or Presbyterians or Lutherans or Pentecostals. The best representation of the kingdom of God, the visible body, is the body of Christ. It's individuals. And we only have one leader, and that's Jesus. You see, Jesus himself is the one that gives us our responsibilities. Jesus is the one that gives us our goals. Jesus is the one that calls us. It's not the pastor, it's not the preacher, it's not the guy at the front of the altar, it's really Jesus. So we see it play out in our churches, we see it play out in our organizations, but it's not truly the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is truly an invisible kingdom. that also continues to grow and to grow and to grow. If we take a look at the in the scriptures, we see often in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament that there's ultimately going to be a harvest. Again, this is a picture. This is a picture, just like a parable. What is a harvest? Well, after seeds are sown, like a mustard seed, and after it grows and becomes very, very fruitful, ultimately there's a harvest. And the harvester comes and cuts it down and brings in the harvest into the barns. This is the kingdom of God. This is the picture of the kingdom of God. This is why, if you remember, we had the parable of the wheat and the tares. Remember? And we said the wheat and the tares, and the sower went out to sow, and he sowed good seed, but then all of a sudden the enemy came and sowed some bad seed, and it started growing up, and the people said, oh my goodness, there's tares, unproductive weeds, in amongst the wheat. Should we go and pull them up? And they said, no, let them both grow. Let them grow through, because there will be a harvest, and there's going to be a separation at the harvest. So this is really what this parable is. This parable is really talking about this invisible kingdom of God, this invisible kingdom of God that grows and grows and grows. Now, remember I said parables only have one meaning, and I think I just gave you the meaning, but they have many applications. You can apply this to yourself. You can apply it to yourself. You see, when you started knowing about Jesus, there was a seed of faith that was planted in you. It could have been from one of these Bible studies. It could have been from a preacher 25 years ago. It could have been your mother, your grandmother, that planted that seed inside of you. And whether you know it or not, that seed is still there. And it has the ability to grow. And it can grow and grow and grow. And the application is that even if you have a little bit of faith, exactly right. This is the second time that Jesus uses the mustard seed as the example. The other example is in Matthew and Luke. In Luke, Jesus said, if your faith were the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, dig yourself up and plant yourself in the sea, and it would obey you. In Matthew, Jesus said, because your faith is so small, I tell you the truth, if your faith was even as big as a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. All things are possible to you. So the application, again, with the mustard seed is to understand that individually we have faith. We've been given this little seed of faith, but it has the opportunity to grow and to become. You get to become a Billy Graham. You get to become a Mother Teresa. Both of those, that's probably a bad example. Both of those people are dead. You'll have to come up with an example of somebody that's still alive. You have the opportunity to have this faith grow up in you. And faith that grows in you produces something. What does it produce? It produces fruit. Produces the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll know that this faith is producing fruit when you start experiencing faith and joy and love and long-suffering and kindness and patience. Those types of things are the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit of God. I was the same way. You mentioned patience. I was the same way. I gave it one of my early sermons, and I've learned not to do it anymore. One of my early sermons, I talked on patience, and I said, you know, patience to me could be called laziness. Because it was something that I couldn't see. I mean, I could see the purpose in it in others, but not for myself. I wanted people to be patient with me, but it was difficult. But that is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit that's produced by the implantation of a very, very, very small seed, that seed of faith that we've been talking about. There's four or five of these parables that we've talked about just recently that all talked about the seed. And now we've got this mustard seed. So that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, that's an easy way to take a look at it. It really is for Billy and for us as well. We talked about that, again, the parable of the mustard seed often is compared to the growth of the church. And why I said that's close, that's not the true meaning, because the church is really not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is completely invisible churches are thought of as being buildings or people that are in organizations. And that's a representation, but it's not the kingdom of God. It's the church. In that, in the church, there are many people that are in the body of Christ, but there are a few that are not. The true kingdom of God is all of the followers, all of the people in the kingdom of God. People in the kingdom of God are people that are born of Christ. They have the Holy Spirit living in them. And it grows and it grows and it grows. And again, I said that the kingdom of God often is thought of as the church, but it's really different. And I'll just read this to you. So this is from one of my commentaries. It says this. It says, Jesus compared the mustard seed to the kingdom, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the field. And again, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. So we're combining the two. Jesus seems to be saying that the kingdom of God at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry was small in the beginning, and from this tiny seed it would grow. Would this growth ever stop? No. The growth of the kingdom of God actually never, never stops. And regardless of what we see as far as churches, you know, when I was traveling for a living, I was a professional traveler with Ford Motor Company. They sent me all around the world. And I spent 5 or 6 years in Europe. And I would visit all of these. As I visited these towns, I would always go and see these beautiful cathedrals. But unfortunately, many of these beautiful cathedrals that used to be full of people are now pretty much museums. They really are. I was in Wittenberg. I was where Martin Luther was. And I went to, did you see the chapel church? And they have a little plaque by the door. This is the door that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on and stuff like that. But it's pretty much a museum these days. And it seems if we do that, sometimes we can be discouraged because we can say the heart of Christianity was often in Europe. It moved west and then even with the Reformation that started in Europe again. And we had this wonderful Reformation, this revival that was going on, and now we see it departing, that there's so many people that are visiting churches. And that could discourage you if you thought that the physical churches were actually the representation of the body of Christ. But they aren't. The kingdom of God will continue to grow and to grow and to grow, even under persecution. Ultimately, there's going to be an amazing harvest. It could be that in the last few years of this present time, until the kingdom of God, the last few years, we could see more conversions than all the previous 2,000 years. So there's the kingdom of God is always going to be growing. And again, in Isaiah, talking about the kingdom of God, Isaiah wrote this. He said, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Well, who's Isaiah talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ, right? He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that. And this is in Isaiah 9:7. So even back in the time of Isaiah, 1,000 years before Jesus was even born, they're talking about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, again, is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is the king. Every kingdom has a king. And the only reason we have the kingdom of God is because we ultimately have the king who is known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's none other than Jesus Christ. Then I'll conclude with this. It says, this tiny seed would never stop growing. And when the king of this kingdom comes to rule in power, it'll continue to grow even then. If you read through the book of Daniel and read through the book of Revelation, there is a time when Jesus will actually sit on the throne of David and the kingdom of God will continue to grow. For how long? The Bible says about 1,000 years. 1,000 years. That's why it's called the millennial. The millennial reign of Christ. And at that time, we'll actually have a physical kingdom of God. What we have now is the church, and the church is a very poor representation of the kingdom of God. And the reason is just take a look. There's a lot of different churches, a lot of different denominations, a lot of squabbling still going on. We have a wonderful place here in Celebration that our pastors and our churches, we have an amazing relationship with each other. But I think the part of the amazing relationship with each other is we don't get too far into the gnats and the nits. We call each other brother. We call each other friend. We don't go into the nits and the gnats of the differences of some of our denominations because we baptize differently. We celebrate communion differently. We call, you know, we've got some that have female pastors, some that only have male pastors. There's differences within our churches. When Jesus comes and reigns, we'll see a true physical representation of what we know as the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if you are, but I'm looking forward to it. I want to encourage you with this. Remember, I said there's two different times that Jesus talks about the mustard seed. One is when he's referring to the kingdom of God, which we've been talking about. But the other is the faith that you have that was planted as a seed long time ago in your life. Let that grow. Let that grow. Continue to let it grow. Let it be nourished. Produce good fruit and be able to share with others as well. Because one of the things the parable told us is that it's not only Jesus that's sowing seed, but we have the opportunity to sow seed as well. You like that? I like that. Let's pray. Father God, we want to...
You've been listening to Faith Dialogue with Pastor Ken Baer, recorded live at Celebrate Seniors, a ministry of faith dialogue. You can listen to or watch all of the recordings at Faith Dialogue by going to www.faithdialogue.org.